Mini episode 55 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Quick precursor note, we were actually producing this segment while news was breaking of the Chris Paul trade to the Clippers. That's why this conversation appears to take place in a parallel universe where CP3 was still with the Hornets. On with the show. Okay, Rick Morris, Kyle Ross with you here. Another great mini episode of the FDH Lounge. And we're going to do the basketball all in one. That's the beautiful thing about being able to format on the fly here. But after a half hour or so of Chris Paul, we're able to bring a bonus mini episode to the piece.
This wasn't in my script, Tony Schiavone. This wasn't in my script, folks. This isn't on my format sheet.
Format sheet, yeah. That's the real inside reference.
Yeah, this wasn't on my format sheet.
Yeah, there's your Mark Madden-approved inside reference. A little bit of bonus coverage here. We're just going to go down and take a look. We'll use this as the basis for this segment and then just kind of jump off as necessary here. The FDH Lounge preseason power rankings for the NBA, they were devised by me, and they were put up on there. So go look on the blog, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. Posted Tuesday, December 13th. The preseason power rankings there, of course, serialized from Fantasy Hoops Draftology 2011. So here's what we got here. Your first tier of teams, and again, in 1 and 2 is not necessarily my predictor of who's going to win the title, but just going into the season. And I guess from the perspective of going into the season, because I also predicted the records separately, I'll admit that it may be, maybe I was a little bit off on putting the Lakers number 2 because I see them kind of growing into it whenever they become what they are going to become, because we still don't know the full shape of the roster. Top tier as I saw it, Miami, L.A. Lakers, Dallas, OKC, and Chicago in that order. You had said previously when we were doing our Chris Paul mini episode, you thought that the winner would come out of that tier, and I think it definitely will.
I cannot see any team besides those five winning the NBA championship this year. You need a superstar to win. Miami, obviously, you know, they have their two. The Lakers have Kobe. Dallas is Dirk. They're the defending champions. Not getting a lot of respect,
right?
It seems. Oklahoma City has Durant. Chicago has Derrick Rose. You know, Boston, you know, they're we can wait for them when you mention them. They're a day later, dollar short, day older. Yeah, Orlando, Dwight Howard, who knows how that's going to work out.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be those five. I would say I have Oklahoma City a little higher.
Okay.
Now, power rankings is interesting. To your point, power rankings does not predict records, obviously. It's not to say this team will be the best.
It's where they are now, and in light of that, I'm reconsidering as I'm doing this.
Because I think
Lakers
Chicago could honestly have the best record again in the regular season.
They could.
Because their division's so bad.
Oh, worst in the league. The NFC West thinks they're in a horrible
division. I mean, that's bad. I mean, I mean, the other four teams may not finish at 500, so.
Yeah.
I would agree with the group. Your tier, those five teams are certainly above. Now, there's one team that I'm taking a look at here. I can't believe you got them a little lower.
Yeah, there's another team as I'm looking at it here, and we may be looking at the same one. That'll be interesting to see. I just want to point out also, too, on this, and I talked about this in our mini-episode that I did with Bob Glassman a couple of days ago here. When I was talking about Miami and the Lakers, I am picking the Lakers in the finals, and I freely admitted that's one of those things where I try to stay unbiased. All I can say is I'm trying to be unbiased on that one. I would certainly be rooting for the Lakers as much as I loathe them. But that's one where, on the one hand, I have a hard time making a case against Miami. On the other hand, as I said to you off air, that old saying from Ric Flair, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Whoever LeBron plays is the man. He made Dirk Nowitzki the man last spring. LeBron is not a clutch guy. He's shown that. And more importantly to me, he showed that in the Boston series in 2010 before he left the Cavs, his execrable final series with them. And with the Lakers, Kobe is getting up there. That's an old 31 because he's straight out of high school. Those knees ain't what they used to be. But Kobe's motivation, I think, is going to be greater than it's ever been. Unlike Jordan, he has a chance to win outside the triangle. Think about that. Unlike Jordan, or much like Jordan, I guess, Jordan was the blocker to guys like Barkley, to guys like Malone that never won anything like this. And Kobe can't single-handedly block LeBron, but they got a window of a few years. If he forestalls LeBron long enough for somebody else to be the blocker later on, maybe Kevin Durant or somebody, that's another thing, too. I think Kobe's motivation is going to be off the charts here to prove that he can get it done and to prove that the Lakers can come back and do this.
I think it's a lot of wishful thinking, quite frankly.
Okay.
I think I didn't like that trade. I mean, I understand why they did it. They wanted to save a little money. Lamar mm-hmm. Odom, you know, they tried trading him. It didn't work out. You know, he was unhappy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that helps the Lakers, they're in a pretty weak division, too. So
yeah.
They're going to win that division, obviously, and be one of the top seeds. I see them, though, man. It wasn't a case of, you know, when they lost the NBA Finals, the last year of Kobe and Shaq to the Pistons, I think a lot of people, and this may be revisionist history, they don't think the better team won. It was a case of self-sabotage mm-hmm. where Shaq and Kobe, you know, it just completely imploded.
Right.
Everything that could have gone. And the Lakers were the better team. They should have won.
Sure.
If I remember, they started out by hammering Detroit in the first game.
I think so, yeah.
But last, they were just beaten by a better team in Dallas.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City's going to get better. They got experience. The thing with the NBA is, you know, take your lumps. No team just jumps up. You'll never see in the NBA a non-playoff team. Now, granted, it's a shorter season, so it'll be interesting. Those are always kind of some of these truths vary, you know, when you have a situation like this, a shorter season. But you don't ever see a team that comes out of nowhere and wins it all.
Right.
You just don't see it. Now, San Antonio the one year, that was kind of unique when they stunk real bad. They got dunked and then they won it. That was a unique situation.
That wasn't the first year of Duncan, was it? I thought that was the second year of Duncan.
The second year of Duncan.
Okay.
You're right. It was the second year of Duncan. Yeah.
Okay.
But even so, you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
you have to take
sure.
it up. So I see the Lakers as the third best team in the West.
They could be.
Now, by the way, the odds at Sportsbook, they have them as having the most wins this year in the Western Conference, 48.5. Now,
okay.
Remember, that seems low because they're playing 66 games.
Right.
But, you know, they're number two in the league to the Heat, who are number one, 49.5.
Okay.
You got the Bulls, 46.5. Spurs number four at 45.5. That seems high.
Totally.
Not a team you mentioned in your first tier, by the way. I think you and I agree. You know, as far as the odds to win the finals, they are they're seventh, which sounds, I guess, a little more reasonable. It's interesting that they have the fourth highest win total, but seventh best odds. And then you've got, you know, Oklahoma City, 44.5, same as Dallas. And then there's kind of a big drop there to Boston at 41.5.
I'll still say if San Antonio is rated seventh to win it all, then that's just based on them being a public team. Because I got them 12th in the power rankings. I'll give you a spoiler on
that. Yeah,
that
seems a little low. But let's hit your second tier.
I
think we agree on the top five. Maybe the order. I mean, here, let me take a look here. You know, I like Oklahoma City a little bit better. But you really can't complain about that. I would be shocked. Who's going to have a team in the top five that's not those five?
Miami, Lakers, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Chicago, the top five of the FDH preseason power rankings in that order. Second tier, I have being four deep. I would be pretty dubious of any of these teams making it to the finals. I think there's a chance that any of these teams could make it as far as the conference finals. Orlando, Boston, Atlanta, and Memphis in that order comprise the second tier.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think three of those teams, the Eastern Conference teams, are all trending downward.
I think so.
Whereas the Western contingent, Memphis, is trending upward. I like Memphis.
Rapidly.
Yeah,
do too.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis.
That doesn't make us hipsters, does it?
No, they were. Okay. No superstars made it that big trade. They're doing fine. A conference semifinalist last year
so sure they have no superstars. I look at the way that Zach has come on. I look at
those
the way
players
that
aren't true. Like, when I think of a superstar, I only think of, like, six or seven guys.
Well, in terms of a guy who I still think can make it to that point, and this is I've beaten this into the ground, but I'll trot it out because I don't think I've used it in your presence here. I always used to say Because I've always been a big believer in Rudy Gay. I used to phrase it that I was a big gay Mark, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Perhaps that doesn't sound so good. Let me rephrase that. But no, I believe Rudy Gay can get to that level still. I think Rudy Gay, maybe that makes me a hipster, I think he can be one of those top half dozen guys in the league with Zach Randolph as his more than good enough 1A. Mark Gasol is maybe the best 1C in the league, potentially. I like what they have there. Mike Conley really came on last year. I think it's not only firepower potentially at the top end, but the combination of firepower and depth. And I told you off air, I got them playing Memphis when I did the predictions. Memphis playing the Lakers going to seven games before the Lakers would win. And Dallas and OKC going to seven games in the Western semifinals. Those four teams could produce tremendous Western semifinals.
I agree that those are the top four in the
West.
In the West, yes. Pardon me as I have the brain fart. There's a team, though, in the East that I like better than all three teams you have in this tier.
Really?
That we haven't met. New York.
All right.
I think New York wins the Atlantic this year. I think Boston's older. Orlando is going to be a mess with Dwight Howard. And do you know what team I just hate? Is the Atlanta Hawks. Just they're a team.
Yeah.
They're just trying to, you know, you talk about that perpetual sick, that mid-card purgatory
right.
We talked about last. They're never going to, the way they're currently constructed,
right.
They will never win an NBA championship, but they're never going to be really bad either. See, I actually think it would benefit them to break that team up and just suck for a couple of years and get a superstar and change directions. They're not going to win the way they're currently constructed.
They're on a treadmill. They're the Bucks of the 80s is what they
are. Yes, they're not. I like the Knicks better than all three of those, significantly better than all three of
and
those teams.
As long as we're making analogies here, can we just have Joe Johnson change his name legally to Jason Worth? Because they're the same guy. Right place, right time. You get paid to be a megastar when you're not. Joe Johnson's a fine, fine player. Should not be a max player. Should not be a guy you can build around.
Should be a player that maybe tells his team, hey, you know what? I'd like to go to the Miami Heat.
That's
exactly who Joe Johnson is.
Let somebody else win me a title.
Yes, yes. I resent that. He could help a team. Not everyone can lead a team.
He certainly
no,
can't.
No, he can't.
Now, I hadn't given up on Atlanta completely. I'd only given up on them 90%.
Now, they did beat Orlando last year in the playoffs. They were a conference semifinalist.
Right.
I would be shocked if they win a playoff series this year.
I didn't give up on them until it became apparent to me at some point in the last year or two, because I agree with the same thing as you do and as far as the type of player you need to carry you to a title, why I think Memphis can win a title in their run, because I think Rudy Gay can become that guy. I wondered for a period of time, could Al Horford become that guy? He can't. Horford is who Dennis Green thought he was.
Yeah, to me, you know, to me, there's only three teams that are below the top five and ahead of probably a large group of mediocrity.
Yeah,
they'd be New York, Boston, and Memphis along the same lines of what you're thinking. Good teams,
okay,
potential division winners, division. Teams that can, I think, can win a playoff series,
right.
But will not contend for the NBA championship.
Right.
Will not be, you know, those to me will round out those three that I just mentioned with the top five. Those are my picks for the conference semifinals.
Okay. All right.
And so then after that, it's a real crapshoot.
They're basically caught between the equivalent or underneath the equivalent of Vinnie Mac's glass ceiling,
yes,
so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, but I think in some cases, you know, Boston's trending down, Memphis up, New York trending up.
Sure. But New York's on my third tier, and we'll talk about the third tier. This is basically the bell curve, what we have here. It starts out on the end of again, teams that are sniffing to me that second tier all the way down to teams that are lucky just to be hanging on this tier. This one goes 10 deep. We start at 10 with Portland, 11 New York, 12 San Antonio, 13 Denver, 14 Indiana, 15 LA Clippers, 16 New Jersey, 17 Golden State, 18 Houston, and 19 Utah.
You see, this is interesting. I can see where you're going here. These are teams, most of these teams, I agree with you being in this tier, in that they're okay, but what are they going to do? So Portland is interesting. I feel terrible for that franchise. You know, Brandon Roy's gone now. They're still a playoff team.
Wesley Matthews, though, really stepped up last year, and I think is going to do pretty good in an increased role.
And they did pretty good even when he was hurt, too, last year. San Antonio, you know, maybe I shortchanged them. Maybe I don't know if they still belong in that second tier. They're a playoff team.
They're a playoff team.
I don't like Denver that much. With
you know what though, but here's the thing, and it's funny. I got San Antonio 12, Denver 13. On paper, I certainly don't like either one of them that much. But here's the commonality: Greg Popovich, George Karl. I look at what they
there
did
aren't
last
a lot of good
year.
Coaches in the NBA right now.
Yes, yes, and what they did last year, for as much as you and I toss around the phrase "coach him up, Pete" derisively, yeah. You look at the final records of San Antonio and Denver last year. Particularly, I mean, people looked at how San Antonio went through, and again, kind of shameful the way they collapsed against Memphis, but what the hell were they doing as the one seed anyways? I mean, we look at this now. I mean, you and I have Memphis decisively above San Antonio.
That is true. You know, until you mentioned that, you know, I think a lot of people forgot about that. San Antonio was number one in the West. San Antonio, and we've got, you know, you and I are both saying, oh, Memphis is definitely, you know, has surpassed them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a pretty tough division, San Antonio's, and that's the best division in the league.
It is.
You know, you've got, you know, Houston's kind of just been hanging around. A lot of people waited for them to kind of break through. It never really happened. But, yeah, you know, I like saying Indiana, again, they were kind of a pesky eight seed.
They're putting together something decent. It doesn't have a real high ceiling to it.
No, it's I mean, I could see them sneaking into the back end of the playoffs. I like the Clippers a lot. I think their ceiling compared to some of these other teams just solely because of Blake Griffin.
Yeah. I got him as an eight seed. And Eric Gordon is the 1B. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, I think the Clippers' ceiling is much higher than a Denver, an Indiana, even a Portland. I could see the Clippers getting as high as sixth in the West.
Right. Now, a little bit of a heart condition right now for my boy LaMarcus Aldridge, but and a guy who really stepped up last year, got to go. Do I think he's a good enough player to build a championship around? No, and that's why I don't have Portland higher than I do. I'll tell you what here. At 17... Don't sleep on Golden State when you got...
Okay, you talk about a team that stunk. Remember I asked before, you couldn't name a team that stunk for a long time? There's a team that stunk.
Exactly.
They had
exactly.
That 1 year where they upset. They got a favorable matchup. They beat Dallas in the first round.
Bringing
that,
in Jerry West, not as the head decision maker, but just putting him in the mix. He's a winner.
Yeah.
Decent talent. Again, that backcourt is a little mismatched the way that they've put it together. On paper, you don't want... you know, the formation of the type of backcourt that they've had. You know, you basically, I mean, you don't want clones at power or at point guard and shooting guard. I mean, even if they're both excellent players.
True. Although it always helps to have two players as good as Curry and Ellis out there. But I love the way Don Nelson just played that team last year. You know what? Let's go high octane with just six or seven guys every game. They had no depth whatsoever. And you're right, there is some talent there, at least
David
in the starting
Lee,
lineup.
I think he's going to have a better year
this
year.
David Lee a lot. I like David Lee a lot.
I do too. I think they're
somebody's
got to
get to. I think when you look at it here, I'm trying to kind of keep track here of, you know, what eight you would have in the playoffs. I guess you got Denver. I think it's going to be a real scramble. The Clippers are six for me. Portland would be seventh. And there's going to be a mad scramble for that last spot among your Denvers, your Golden States, your Houstons.
Okay. I got the Clippers as the eight seed in the Western Conference. And then in the East, I'm looking to see here. In the East, I believe I have it as Indiana. So...
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey.
New Jersey would be my eight seed.
I like New Jersey to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the franchise getting kind of a facelift. That usually is enough to carry it. You know, I mean, we're about to get to the dregs of the draw here, so to speak. And then these teams the teams below them just don't have any chance to make the playoffs.
I was just going to ask you, so our consensus is the 16 teams that make the playoffs, as you and I see it, come out of this grouping of the top 19 that we've talked about so far. There's not anybody below this.
There's one team in the East that I think that you've got in the fourth tier. Philadelphia, I think, could compete.
Okay.
Other than that, the rest of these teams, no way.
And I think it's a weird thing. Not that Philly had a great record last year. I felt like they kind of overachieved to get there. I wasn't that impressed with them. And it was a year where Evan Turner was a big bust as a super rookie. And I couldn't exactly figure out how they did it. But, let's look at the fourth tier. The fourth tier goes from Toronto at 20.
I can't believe you have Toronto that high.
Toronto
is there missing? Did they acquire someone? Was I sleeping?
We'll look at them in a second here. They got some parts that I like. Toronto at 20, Phoenix 21, Philadelphia 22, Minnesota 23, Charlotte 24, New Orleans 25, Washington 26, and Milwaukee 27. And quite frankly, we're going on to Washington and Milwaukee. So how bad do you got to be not to be on that fourth tier when you're looking at them? Let's go to Toronto for a second here.
Because I'm looking here at Toronto with the odds. They've got the second lowest projected win total. It's 16.5. Only Minnesota's worse. And their odds to win the NBA championship are tied for the lowest at 200-1.
Okay. Again, I look for big things from them this year. I think that relative.
Yeah, okay.
No, relative to that. To be specific, let me go to what the record. All right, I got them at 29-39, which is probably way above what a lot of people have them at. Big things from a couple of players, I guess I should say. Not big things for the team as a whole, although maybe relative to putrid expectations. I think Bargnani is going to have a pretty good year in the middle. I think he's going to be able to distinguish himself a little bit better at that position. I'm a believer, among other things. I look at the kind of year that DeMar DeRozan had stepping up last year, and I think that he's a guy who, I mean, if he's a legitimate 18, 19-point-a-game guy, which I think he may be, that helps you out already.
But the way every team's going to have a legitimate 18, 19-point guy. To me, when I look at the division,
right,
Toronto's in a lot of trouble in that division, because that division, which used to be awful, the Atlantic, has gotten better. And they're the clear last-place team in that division. They're not going to finish above Philly or New Jersey.
Yeah, what do I have there? I got them at 29-39, Philly at 28-38. I think they're
really. You got them ahead of Philly.
I got them ahead of Philly.
Oh, I'm shocked by that.
I got them a game ahead of Philly.
We're gonna have to have some sort of wager on that.
I think Jose Calderon is going to have a pretty good bounce back year at point guard.
It'd be any worse.
I'm going to throw out a name, and you're going to call me a hipster, as you do sometimes frequently for my basketball takes. You've called me a hipster on this guy before. I just really think that this guy, if he gets a chance, he had some games down a stretch last year where he was phenomenal. I have always said Jared Bayless is an untapped talent. I think Jared Bayless can be a catalyst for this Toronto Raptors team.
To do what? To do a catalyst for what?
To propel them to within 500.
No way.
You don't think so?
No, I think Toronto is one of the worst teams. Okay, you talk about another franchise they should control. What, the NBA in Canada, what were you thinking, D. Stern?
Okay. I mean,
well, it took them all 2 minutes to decide to pull that team out of Vancouver. What's he thinking about Toronto?
Yeah, well, that could be the next takeoff a story from the Great White.
Yeah.
But
to me, that team that team has no chance of competing for the – like, I'm trying to take a look. I don't like Phoenix at all. They've been – but, they'll be okay. Minnesota, that seems high for them.
But here's the thing, though.
New Orleans.
You talk about that, though. Let's say Minnesota for a second. And I understand they didn't really have sensational play in the backcourt last year.
Kevin Love.
Minnesota as bad as they were with Kevin Love and Michael Beasley stepping up like that?
Well, I don't know. Have you seen any of Michael Beasley's latest twit pics? I think that's the reason why. Yes, that
probably.
Okay,
but you're also putting Derek Williams in the mix there. Who
my boy.
Nate Noy is. FDH's Nate Noy seems to be on the cusp of nominating him not merely for Rookie of the Year but for NBA MVP already. But that is going to make a tremendous difference. The weird thing, I can't figure out what they're doing in the backcourt. I can't figure out why they would go for J.J. Barea as well as with Ricky Rubio there. But at least they're hedging themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
They've upgraded
their
team in
Rubio,
a couple of key places.
Yeah, Rubio's got high bust potential, I think.
Yeah, and their talent was much better than their record last year.
That's true.
Yeah.
Was Kurt Rambis just that bad?
I think he was.
Okay.
So I'm basically putting them in line with where I think
they could
should be.
They play in a kind of a tough division, though, too. That's the problem, too. You always have to remember, somebody's got to finish in last. You got Oklahoma City.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
Portland.
The theory of the world needs ditch diggers.
Yes. You got Oklahoma City, Portland, Utah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
who am I missing? Who's the fifth team in that division?
Okay.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver. Well, and I do have Minnesota in last, but I have them at 26-40.
Okay.
I have them as, and that's not a great record, but
I'll tell you what. The sports books do not agree. They have them with the lowest win total of any team, 15.5.
I guess I just don't understand that.
Keep in mind that a lot of that's set public. You know, Minnesota's certainly the opposite of a public team. I would say over that. You're right. I mean, just based on their talent, I mean, you're right.
I love the over on Minnesota.
And it seems like they've bottomed out, too. You know what I'm saying? It seems like they've bottomed. You know, they're not going to be any worse.
Right.
So I could see them okay. And
right.
God, looking at some of these teams you got blown, God, these teams are bad.
Minnesota last year was Newt Gingrich in June. They bottomed out. They clearly bottomed out. But, I mean, but here's the thing, though. I want to go to that for a second and playing to the public as the sports books do. You said 15 wins. All right, they won 17 last year in a longer schedule. So even at 15, that's a step up from last year, but that's the sports books going, I don't want to get too far out in front of Minnesota, and I know they may have better talent than that, but that's the sports books playing scared.
Well, they can't set like a high line and then everyone bets under and they lose.
True.
I mean, it's their
that's
job
true.
To make money. I mean, yeah, you're right. I would go with over 15
but
and a half,
they're
absolutely.
They're playing to people's ignorance on that with a line at 15, no question about it. So there's our next tier.
I don't think they're the worst team.
No, I don't think they're the worst team either. Not even close. Again, you look at some of the other ones here. New Orleans, you wonder where the offense is going to come from, minus Chris Paul.
Well, because of Dan Gilbert, it's going to be from Chris Paul.
Well, that's true. Washington, again, they're a team in transition. That's the kindest thing you can say about them. I think I'm a huge John Wall guy. I think he's going to have a much better second year. I think Nick Young.
They actually got worse with him. Did you know their record was worse than the year previous?
It was.
Last year, which
it was.
That's shocking.
But that was, they didn't have a clear direction at the outset, though. It was kind of like LeBron's rookie year when he was supposed to coexist with Ricky Davis. You got crazy Gilbert Arenas that John Wall was supposed to take a back seat to at the outset just because he was the incumbent.
I mean, they've got to be better, too, don't they?
They have to be.
They were really bad last year.
Nick Young came a little closer to being what I thought he was going to be when he first came into the league. So he was something. Milwaukee at 27. Again, FDH's Nate Noy and I have laughed about this. Where the F is their offense going to come from? They are a horrible, horrible team. When you got a guy like Corey Maggette.
Well, they play defense, though.
What did he score? Corey Maggette had like 12 points a game, I think, for them last year. How can you own? You know you're washed up if you're averaging 12 points a game playing for Milwaukee.
Well, they
because
were.
Not
the,
a lot of
they were. They were the lowest scoring team. It's the mentality they have. They're a defense first team.
But you can't win without guys that can score.
Yeah.
And here's part of it too.
You know what? Also, they got screwed with the whole fear of the deer run that they had two years ago. They had a lot of guys playing in the dreaded contract year that were playing a little bit above their potential.
Right.
And then all those guys got paid, and God, they stunk last year.
Yeah, they did. They did.
I was waiting for them. They should be better this year. I think you've got them a little lower.
No. I mean, who's going to score on that team? You're going to get a certain amount out of Jennings, maybe Steven Jackson. He was about 18 last year, 18.5. Maybe he can get back to that. But
I like Brandon Jennings.
But, okay, he scored 16-2 last year. Is he going to be in the 20s? That's pretty much what you would need to offset some of the other slugs they got out there. They don't have guys that can score. Look at the depth chart.
One thing I don't like is they have Drew Gooden here. Let's take a look
at that.
Yeah. That's a real fancy depth chart you got
here. Well, that's linked off of the main the Ultimate Links page at FDHLounge.com, where there's 2,150 links. All for your convenience.
Andrew Bogut's isn't a bad player.
Andrew Bogut, okay, and I forecast him up a little bit, but from 12-8, and that kind of makes my point. 12-8 for him, 11-3 for your starting power forward, Drew Gooden. Abute with 6.7. Where are the points going to come from here? They're horrible.
You're right. Okay, it's pretty bad if you don't have a 19 point per game score in an NBA
team.
I think they're going to be bad. Plus, that division's bad.
Yeah,
somebody's got to finish in second place.
While I always used to bag on JJ Hipster, I do owe the universe an apology for saying that CDR should have been the Cavs draft pick here.
Oh, I always said that. I always said that, too.
Okay.
That's amazing. I always thought that it should have been Douglas Robertson. I was so mad that they didn't get Chris Douglas Robertson.
Me too.
I was like, who?
Yeah.
I was like, I watch ACC basketball every week. I have no idea who J.J. Hickson is.
That's funny. We were both so blatantly wrong on that.
I still think they should have.
Well, yeah, you can make a point for that. Speaking of which, that takes us to our bottom three in the NBA here. Cleveland, Detroit, Sacramento in that order. I do see as much as I frown on Milwaukee and drop charts all over them, I do see a line of demarcation between Milwaukee at 27, Cleveland at 28, Detroit at 29, and 30 at Sacramento. The interesting thing is the Cavs are a team that on paper has some decent pieces there. You've got Anderson Varejao coming back in. If they were to keep Anton Jameson for the entire year, that might be a little bit different. I got to believe the Cavs are going to do the right thing and parole him. See, I like him, and I.
What's he ever done?
I'm rooting for him.
Guy's been in the league 200 years. It's been his one playoff series when he gravy trained off LeBron.
Well, I'm rooting for him to go to Oklahoma City and be able to gravy train off Durant to a title.
No,
I'm
I don't want. If I don't, I wouldn't want to bring Anton.
He's a 1B though, but he never was the 1A. You can't play. You're holding to a standard.
Yeah, but he's never been even a 1B on a good. Those Washington teams never did anything.
I hated those Washington teams, but they were good teams. They were worthy adversaries for the Cavs.
Yeah, but. They never even won a playoff series. Gilbert
Arenas.
The guy's won one playoff series, been in the league 200 years.
I don't know. I think he's an excellent
scorer. If I was Oklahoma City, I wouldn't bring him in.
Great clubhouse guy. You wouldn't bring him in?
No.
If you were Oklahoma City?
I think he's bad luck.
Bad luck? Well,
I think he's,
who can argue with that kind of science?
Yeah, I think he's Sharif Abdur-Rahim's, his generation, Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
Yeah,
just never going to win anything. I'm not saying he's a bad basketball player. He's never been in a meaningful game.
That kind of science there. You're like my old pal from Bowling in the Scratch Leagues, my old pal Al Chuhay, who thought that if he tugged his ear when a guy on the other team was releasing the ball, that it would go through the nose and he'd leave a split
like
or
that.
Something. Yes.
I'm telling you right now.
That's the kind of science when you say that Anton Jameson is bad luck.
I think he is. Look what happened to the Cavs when they got him.
How in God's name can you weigh that on him? Aside from
he introduced Delonte West to Gloria James.
Yeah, well, that was the biggest culprit right there.
Sacramento, but I agree with being.
He never played with Shaquille O'Neal hardly, and then they got put out there together in the playoffs by the infamous Mike Brown. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit at 29 is just horrible. That's what happened.
I thought they overachieved last year.
They overachieved.
The Cleveland's a team that has obviously bottomed out. Remember when I
totally bottomed out?
We did this show the one time,
yeah.
And the Cavs had just lost to Miami. This was last year,
yeah,
and I was like, Ricky, it's going to be really bad to get over that. And then they went on and lost like 800 games in a row.
Yes.
That was the worst. They actually played before and after that streak relatively okay basketball. So you're right. I think Cleveland. Honestly, I think there are four teams worse than Cleveland.
Okay,
Detroit and Sacramento, who you have worse.
Yeah,
and I say Toronto and Charlotte.
All right. The other thing on Cleveland, too, that I want to talk about, because, again, Kyrie Irving coming in, I think that that's going to make a difference. I think that he's actually my pick for Rookie of the Year because he's going to get the minutes to go out there. He and Derek Williams were kind of head and shoulders above everybody else, but Derek Williams, I think, is going to be buried in that Minnesota rotation. But you look at the thing with Cleveland. I think they were 7-9 going into that Miami game last year. And,
so
and you and I argued about that beforehand. You said I was a hipster because I said they would be the 8th seed. And I said, I'm not being a homer. I don't want them to be the 8th seed. I want Dan Gilbert to implode this team so we can suck and get the first overall pick. Funny how that happened. But anyways, you and I talked about that game on the show right after it happened, like the week or so after. And I think you said that this may go down as one of the most transformative games in NBA history. It was so ugly. It spawned that, whatever it was, 26-game losing streak. It took the decision out of Dan Gilbert and Chris Grant's hands because I'll go to my grave saying that looked like an 8th seed in the awful Eastern Conference to me beforehand. I think they would have limped to a mid-30s record the way they were playing. That game, and people hated it at the time, and people hated the streak, and I'm sitting there going, I'm a Cavs fan, but you know what? I'm smart enough to say.
You have to do that.
I'm enduring 5 years' worth of pain in 6 weeks. I'm good with that. That's what I wanted.
If you're an NBA team and you're not, if you're these small market teams, if you're the Washington, you have to bottom out to get a top draft pick because you have to have a superstar. Is Kyrie Irving that guy? I don't know. I mean, he played like 5 minutes at Duke.
Kyrie Irving and, Harrison Barnes or Anthony Davis or whatever.
I mean, they're going to be bad again. The next draft's going to be a lot better because so many guys stayed because of the lockout. So they'll get another good piece.
Let's not gloss over that. It's extraordinary that they bottomed out post-LeBron in one calendar year.
What's funny is a lot of people thought, remember, what was funny is nationally a lot of people thought they were going to do what happened when they go best regular season record to work. A lot of people expected that.
That one showed from Yahoo Sports said they would be that going into the season. And that 7-9 start belied that completely.
It did, yeah. And a Cleveland fan predictably that's just, we show the name,
Right.
And I mean, obviously, like I said, it was one of the worst regular season losses in any sport in the history of sports.
You called it at the time. You said completely transformed. transformative. The funny thing is Detroit at 29, we both agree they suck. Sacramento at 30. I'd be interested to know where that is relative to the odds, because I think me and you are way more down on them than the public.
They are projected fourth worst win total at 17.5, ahead of only Cleveland, Toronto, and Minnesota.
All right, I got them at 14.
Okay, and then as far as odds go, they're one of a multitude of teams at 100-1. There's only three teams at 200-1, Toronto, Detroit, and Minnesota.
Here's the reason I'm picking them there. And there are at least a half dozen teams in the league worse on paper than they are. That rotation is Vietnam. That rotation is just awful. That rotation, you have a bunch of young ball hogs there. You have Tyreek Evans, you have Jimmer Fredette, who only does one thing but does it very well. You have Marcus Thornton, you have J.J. Hickson, who thinks he's more than he is and had a license to shoot when he was in Cleveland. You have John Sammons, who's probably going to still be chucking at a decent amount when he's in there. You have Chuck Hayes, who they just brought in, who, you know, again, probably
got some talent on
Patrick
this team.
Patrick Putback, and DeMarcus Cousins. I don't see him passing out of the deep pivot very often. That team,
they do have some.
They will feast on one another. They will eat chunks out of one another's
kidneys.
I think
that happened a lot last year. Hopefully, though, when things are bad, they show that tremendous video they made for the franchise set to Tesla's love song. Did you see that? When it was time to Sacramento's own time. Oh, I got to send
you
this.
Oh, that's awesome.
It makes me kind of root for Sacramento because I like Tesla.
Yeah, but and again, here's the thing, though. And a guy like Jimmer Fredette, a bad team drafts him, and that's just purely a marketing move.
What's wrong with that?
Because he doesn't fit into what they've got.
Yeah, but if you get people, I mean, look, they're trying to keep that team, man. Okay, I mean, they might. I mean, they could be the Broadview Heights Kings by all accounts next year. They need something to sell people on.
Yeah, but
and is Jimmy Fredette really that? Is he that worldly? I mean,
pieces have to. I think. He's
he was the big hit of the tournament last year.
I think he's going to be one of the best shooters in the NBA. But
he
that
would be
doesn't
a great
mean,
six. He would be a great sixth man on a good team.
And you know
to
what?
Come off and hit a couple threes.
I said at the time of the draft, when he was projected to go out of the lottery, I said the best thing that could happen to this kid is to go where he belongs, late first round. That guy, as a guy coming off the bench for a really good team, would just be amazing.
Well, you
this
know,
is bad. You,
you
don't
know
want
what
to
he
put
needs
him on
to
a bad
that?
Team
well,
with
oh,
young ball hawks.
Oh, so you know what he needs to do then, Jimmer Fredette? I believe he needs to go to all the Maloofs and say, trade me to the Lakers now. That's what he should do. Put me on the Lakers. Put me on the Knicks.
I could just see that. He'll have Kobe Bryant's teeth marks on his throat the first time he jacks it five times in a quarter.
Yes.
But no, I just, that's how why I have them picked last, because this team
it is a toxic
has brutal
situation.
Implosion written all over it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, and that's just the funny thing about it here,
well,
too.
So you said you're taking Lakers over Miami.
Lakers over Miami, perhaps the triumph of hope over reality. I'll grant you that.
I'm going this. This is what I'm going with.
Okay.
In the East, it's going to be Miami over Chicago. Rematch last
year. I agree
with
that.
Don't sleep on the Knicks could get there over Chicago. Don't think so. The Knicks will give somebody a tough second-round matchup. I'm a big believer on the Knicks, what they're doing.
Okay.
Don't like the coach, but I don't like the coach of – I don't like your boy Coach Spo either, okay?
Yeah, he's not any good. Well, yeah, I mean, he's decent. He's not as good as the team he has. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, you know, he's like Mike Brown.
Yeah.
But in the West,
Stan Van Belfie.
Yeah, in the West, I definitely like Oklahoma City. They'll probably get by either Dallas. I like Oklahoma City over Dallas. I'm calling for rematches of last year's conference finals. I think it's going to be the same. And then it's going to be in the NBA Finals. Learn to love it. Miami over Oklahoma City.
God help us. Well,
Miami over Oklahoma City. As LeBron James does it the old-fashioned way. He earned it.
Yeah. Anything but that. But I know that could very well happen. I'll just run through super quick. Here's what I have all the way through in the playoffs for me. Quarterfinals. Miami over Jersey in 5. Chicago over Indiana in 6. Boston over New York in 6. Orlando over Atlanta in 7. In the West, Lakers over Clippers in 6. Orlando over Denver in 5, Dallas over San Antonio in 5, Memphis over Portland in 6. So there's my first round. conference semifinals. I already alluded to this previously. Dallas over Memphis in seven. Or I'm sorry, Dallas over Oklahoma City in seven. Lakers over Memphis in seven. I think those will be wars. In the East, Miami over Orlando in six. Chicago over Boston in six. And then we get to, again, Miami over Chicago in six. Lakers over Dallas in six. I think the revenge factor will be key there. Lakers over Miami in six, but yeah, I just I'm prepared for your scenario as well as I can be, I suppose.
It just seems like it would be their year.
It seems
Oklahoma City's got to take an extra lump. Chicago, I don't know. To me, when I watch Chicago, they remind me a lot of those Cavs teams that didn't win at all,
right,
where it's a bunch of guys standing around watching one guy at times offensively.
Yep.
So Miami over Oklahoma City is my pick.
Okay. NBA Finals MVP, I'm saying Kobe. Are you going to go out on a limb to say LeBron gets a Finals MVP, or are you going to hedge it and say Dwayne Wade or somebody?
Maybe it'll be Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh.
Maybe it'll be Norris Cole.
Norris Cole, who...
That was a great draft.
Bob Glassman called it and said the irony is another Cleveland guy goes to South Beach and helps out. And he could possibly.
Mm-hmm.
He very well could. NBA MVP, I'm going to say Kevin Durant. You think of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Hopefully Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, stop it.
Yeah.
Behave. Okay?
Yeah.
You're not. You're 1B. Okay? It's Kevin Durant's team. Stop shooting the ball 800 times
in
the fourth quarter.
He is. Rookie of the Year, Kyrie Irving, I said. And I'll leave it on this note here. Coach of the Year, I've said it before. I'm going to go back to it again. Nate McMillan.
I guess he's got so much turmoil. If he is able to pull something out, I would agree.
All right, even a mid-card playoff run.
Give it to Coach Spo, I think. He's got so little talent to work with there.
Coach Spo, yeah. That'll make his dad, Eric Estrada, very proud,
won't
it?